Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. NBA offseason is still upon us, but the news never stops. We'll be discussing the Luol Deng buyout and where this puts the former Laker. Was the trade between the Suns and the Rockets a win-win? And sticking on the subject of the Suns, is Goran Dragic the best point guard fit? With the announcement of Manu Ginobili's retirement, we'll be discussing whether he will go down as a better player than Dirk Nowitzki, and similarly, whether he will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll be discussing whether the addition of Carmelo Anthony brings the Rockets closer to a championship. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things.
We're back!
With me today, the ever-excited... Jack Manuel, how are you, mate?
I'm very excited, Nicholas. I'm always excited. You know, there's good things happening in your life, good things happening in mine. It's a wonderful day to be alive.
Exactly. Things are turning up. My name is Nick Busink, and like Jack said, we are back, and it has been an extensive 3 weeks for me.
Yeah.
I've had my tonsils removed, and I'm fairly sure I have snapped the tendon underneath my foot.
It's all
the plantar or such.
Plantar fasciitis. Is that the one?
Plantar fasciitis is like an ailment,
right?
That's like recurring.
Yeah,
but the tendon. I think is the called. Tendon. I'm not sure what the tendon's
right.
called, but I'm fairly sure I've snapped it.
Right. Okay. Interesting. I don't know what your body is a mess.
So like
your body is a mess.
You say good things have happened, but it's been a trying 3 weeks.
It's up and down, mate. It's up and down. That's life's challenges.
The tonsils are obviously recovered.
Yes, you can speak.
Well, no more tonsillitis from now, so that's beautiful.
Is there any way... You can't get tonsillitis again, can you?
No, I've got
because
no
you don't have any
tonsils. To get infected, yeah.
I wonder what was stupider, me asking that or me saying about the cows.
It's like, can you get a...
A broken foot when you're amputated?
Yeah, you can't get a broken metatarsal when you've got no foot.
Only if you believe, Nicholas. That's where you insert the meme where it's the guy pointing at his head.
Can't break your foot if you don't have one.
Should we get to some... I don't know how there's still so much NBA news. I love this league.
Off-season, I mean...
It's just fun.
It's an old adage that NBA reporters don't actually have...
Time off,
because they're reporting during the season, and then off-season is just as crazy.
Yeah.
I thought things would die down after Summer League and the draft, but no.
Nah.
There's still a lot of content coming out, so we'll be getting it to you as much as we can.
Yes, sir.
Because it is off-season for us.
It is.
But, you know, I think once podcast every 3 weeks is all right.
And you can find me in a couple other ones, Brooklyn Buzz,
is it? Jack is doing his work. I am the bum who does the one podcast.
Yeah, but
I'm faithful. So that's the thing. I'm a faithful lad.
I'm a podcast whore.
I'm the Ben Simmons. You're the Kendall Jenner.
We will definitely get to that. But in saying that, let's get to some Lakers news. Very recently, the Lakers buyout of Luol Deng all but assures a reunion of the former Bulls crew in Minnesota. Insert the Tom Thibodeau smiling face gif.
You can't really insert gifs on a radio. We need to figure out something.
I always say like really visual mediums on the audio medium. Like I've said it every time. I don't know why.
Like when something's this big,
yeah.
It's like no one can see what you're doing with your hands.
You could be doing something really small. He could be trying to trick us. But Nick, what do you think? Is it all but going to happen? Is this like fact?
I mean, they had to do this, didn't they? They had to buy him out. No one was taking Deng's contract.
No.
I mean,
they would have had to attach an asset. Assets.
It was, yeah. I mean, someone paid for Blake Griffin, so yeah. anything can happen. That being said, let's not compare Luol Deng to Blake Griffin. Does this ensure a reunion for the former Bulls crew? I mean, there are a lot of potential candidates.
We talked about Noah, remember, on our last episode about whether the Knicks stretch him. Now, it seems like they're going the opposite route of what we're talking about, and they might stretch it. But there's no point to it.
Exactly. Like, was that team successful?
Yeah, exactly.
No. And they had D. Rose.
Yeah, and they did.
So, like...
But D. Rose, yeah. Minnesota. Luol Deng, free
agent. Yeah, but D. Rose isn't the D. Rose anymore.
But they're going to be... And Jimmy Butler's there still. It could be, like, literally...
I know it's a reunion, but what's the point? Because it didn't work originally.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
If their
Taj Gibson's there as well.
If their aim is to finish eighth, then go for it.
They finished eighth last season. But, like... In judging on the sentence and the topic, do you think it's going to happen? Like, do you think Deng will go there and Noah stays? Is there like more nuance to this?
No, I don't. I think they're quite separated from each other.
Streets apart.
Yeah,
streets
ahead. No, it's not streets ahead, but mutually exclusive.
Right,
that's the one. The Venn diagram.
Yes, the circles.
Yes. Yeah, they're mutually exclusive to another. If one moves, that doesn't necessarily mean the other one will.
It could happen, though.
They're not looking to reunite these people. Like, they're not Joakim Noah's there. Let's get Deng.
But
why not?
But it's Tom Thibodeau is also the head of the front office. He's not just the coach. So, like, ultimately, it comes down to him. He brought in Taj Gibson. That's Butler and Gibson. He brought in Rose.
Rose is short for a contract next year. It doesn't matter. Deng's going to pick whatever team gives him the most money. I think Rockets are a big...
Yeah, definitely.
Especially after their recent news, which we will touch on later.
Yep.
There's a spot for him.
Yep.
So I am big on that. There are other possible suitors in Minnesota. Oh, like we mentioned, Minnesota.
Detroit.
Yep, Detroit.
New
Pelicans.
Orleans.
Yep.
All of those. If you're ranking them, Nick... For what you think is the best basketball fit for Luol Deng, you said Houston, is that your number one? Like, Minnesota?
Yeah.
What do you think would be number two?
Explain to me the fit in Minnesota.
Okay, well, if... they don't really have a small forward, but Butler's like a two. Up Wiggins?
I would say...
Starting Butler's over Wiggins. He's going to start over Wiggins if he goes there. Guaranteed. Well, Tibbs hates
him. Yeah, Wiggins has been quite... Not Tibbs' favourite player.
Not at all. And we know how Tibbs doesn't really like to push the pace, but in New Orleans and Houston to a lesser extent, I think New Orleans finished with the top pace in the NBA last season. I don't know how Luol Deng fits that. I think he's probably fit. And like we saw, I think he still has plenty left in the tank. You know, he's a very good defensive player, can hit the three ball, has proven that in Chicago. Obviously, he didn't get the chance to do that with the Lakers. He has left some money on the table as well, which means that he does want to play. It shows his desire to get back and on the court. You know, in terms of the waive and stretch provision, he left $7.5 million of his $36.8 on the table. So, I think if I'm ranking...
What sort of contract does he get if...
Minimum. I think it's generally a minimum. But if I'm ranking them, I'm going to go with you. I'll go Houston, I'll go New Orleans, I'll go Detroit, then Minnesota in terms of fit. Because...
He played one game last year.
What were his numbers in that game, Nicholas?
2 points.
Yes!
50% from the field.
That's pretty good.
That's a good season
average.
That's a good season average. He had a 5.5 PER.
That's pretty bad. The average PER is like 13.
I think it's 15.
13 to 15, somewhere around that
range. The bell curve is, 15.
How many minutes did he play in that game, 15. Nicholas? Scroll down to the B-ball.
That's a good question.
How many minutes? What was he on the court for?
Minutes played 13.
13?
13 minutes.
2 points? So if you...
That's not great.
Per 36, he gets about 5?
That's terrible.
But look, that's...
Yeah, it's a single game, isolation.
But, and you can... What was his numbers like for, say, like one of the seasons in Chicago when he was at his best? Like that... That's sort of closer to the numbers of like than 2 points.
When he was playing 38 minutes a game, he was on, if my eyes
don't mistake you,
good, 16 points.
Yep.
So actually, that's him.
I think that numbers that you're likely to get from him would be like maybe 8 points if he gets, 20 minutes of time, 15 minutes of time. Hopefully, it's more about the defensive presence, because if you're looking at Houston, losing Trevor Ariza, adding in James Ennis and Carmelo Anthony, I think Luol Deng is probably the best defensive player out of those three. Now, we don't know what we're going to get out of him because we haven't seen him on the court in basically 12 months. Mm. But we shall move on. And speaking...
Before we move...
Yes, sir.
Basketball Reference do the whole nickname thing.
What's Luol's nickname?
He's got two. And I just think they're great. The Man from Sudan.
That's great!
It's great. And Dangerous. That's not fair. That's pretty good.
I want these nicknames.
Dangerous and the man from Sudan. I love it.
Beeble, I'm going to do we're going to go to a break at some stage because I want to put a tweet out there about what is the better nickname. What's your favorite nickname out of those? I like the man from Sudan.
I do like
the
man
love
from
a rhyme.
Sudan.
I love a rhyme. But dangerous isn't bad.
Dangerous is clever.
It sounds like something you'd hear on like Austin Powers.
Yeah, it's a lot cleverer.
Yeah. Clever is a word, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Doesn't sound right.
Well, if not. Well,
you say an history, so I don't believe anything.
I was arguing with this with Chai last night, and he was on my side, but we'll...
What?
We'll get to that.
This is the whole Clay Draymond down to it all over again anyway.
Now, the Suns-Rockets trade, we were speaking about the Rockets, was a win-win for both teams. Now, for those... that was probably the major news before the Luol Deng buyer.
Mm.
Houston traded Ryan Anderson and DeAnthony Melton, their first round pick from this season's draft, to Phoenix for Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight. I think it's
a win-win.
But that you can argue for either side. Like, if we're saying Marquise Chris in the Houston system will work better, but he's been an absolute bum and gives away fouls at a ridiculously high rate.
From a Houston perspective, yeah, they traded a good player, don't get me wrong. But he had fallen out of favor in the Houston lineup.
DeAnthony Melton was better. Crux of this
He
trade.
Wasn't getting the minutes that obviously he wanted.
He was unplayable.
Even deserved. Like, exactly. So from a Houston perspective, you're getting rid of dead weight for, really, if they picked up anything, it's better. And the company that they picked up...
Yeah.
Very, very positive.
Yeah.
And win for Phoenix because they have picked up a vet and a great shooter.
Yeah, and DeAnthony Melton is said to be one of the best sort of defensive guards of this class and probably would have had a role on Houston. And, you know, Houston obviously aren't buying in. They don't need long-term prospects. They need guys that can sort of play and win now. And Brandon Knight is obviously an upgrade over Michael Carter-Williams,
mm-hmm.
If healthy. We've seen, you know, he would have started for Phoenix if he was healthy as well. So now Phoenix on the lookout. We'll get to that in terms of their point guard situation. And I believe also Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out that Ryan Anderson is going to start at the four, which I am baffled by. Because he couldn't start for Houston. Obviously, Phoenix is a different situation, and maybe it's because of the spacing he provides DeAndre Ayton. But they're going to start two...
Stretch four, I mean, it's not the worst idea.
Look, it's not. And I mean, starting doesn't mean that you're closing games. Exactly. And I doubt that he'll be...
Zaza Pachulia starts. plays like 10 minutes, or played 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think him and JaVale... And even I think Kevon Looney was starting games as well. Like, their front court situation was just crazy.
It didn't matter.
Doesn't matter for them, but it matters for a team like Phoenix, who apparently are all in on this playoff chase this year.
Their team is good.
It's good, but it's Eastern Conference good. It's not Western Conference good. Like, they would be a definite playoff contender. Like, if you're comparing them to Detroit, Charlotte, Cleveland, the Nets to a lesser extent, they're at the head of that pack almost with their talent.
You might see an All-NBA Devin Booker this year.
Younger than Donovan Mitchell. He's younger than Ben Simmons. I think people forget that. The max contract obviously gives him the validation he wants. And part of the playoff thing, I think, is partly because of what he was saying. He's like, I'm sick of losing.
Mm.
So I think Ryan McDonough, and obviously the point guard situation, which we'll get to. But for me, I don't understand. They're going to start two former Rockets in Ariza and Anderson. Like,
he picked up Ariza as well. They are a good team.
Look, they're good, but like you could argue.
You're saying it's like the not a Western Conference good team. I think they might be,
but a playoffs team.
Yeah,
like what? Better? I'd say Dallas is better than them. I'd say Memphis is better than them.
I wouldn't say Dallas is better than the Phoenix.
This is my personal opinion. The Harrison Barnes is better. Wesley Matthews is proven. Luka Doncic. Possible
rookie
of the year. Dennis Smith Jr. and DeAndre Jordan is one of the most consistent lob threats and centers in the NBA today. But we'll discuss that, save that for like season preview stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a fact. I don't think we did the other one as well.
Is it a surefire thing that Deng moves to the Bulls?
No, alternative fact.
Alternative fact.
but this one is a fact. I think that you can argue from both sides that they got
something
out of it.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But maybe, you know, depending on Ryan Anderson's contract, because it was a lot of money on it, maybe Phoenix could have gotten a little bit more, maybe a pick out of it or something. But it could also mean that the Rockets have some space now to trade something and get a wing like a Bazemore or a Batum. Watch this space. We'll give that to you. But Nicholas...
Rockets are going
to
be an interesting piece next year, given that they got rid of... Like, Ryan Anderson's not made future, but the Trevor Ariza thing, I think, is huge.
Bar Mute as well.
Yeah, like, they just don't seem like they want to win.
No.
I don't know. It's strange.
And I mean, Melo and Ennis, does it make up for it? I mean, we'll talk about that.
Not at all.
Eventually. Yeah. But the best fit, Nicholas, for the Suns as a Suns starting point guard is, funnily enough, a former point guard that they had 3 seasons ago.
I saw this on Facebook today.
Do you remember 3 seasons ago they had 3 point guards? Bledsoe, Thomas, and Dragic.
Mm.
Like, that's basically the sort of when we were starting to think about doing JBT. But, like, they've gone from 3 starting point guard caliber players to zero in the space of 3 years. How did that happen? Like, obviously, we know how it happened, the trades and such, but there's rumors.
How did they let that happen?
There we go. Yeah. Add that extra word in for me, mate. And there was an article on Hoops Hype, which your boy got featured on.
Nice.
Spencer Dinwiddie's in that list, and I put a tweet out about Spencer Dinwiddie being the best assist-to-turnover ratio starting point guard. And for some reason, I don't know why, they thought that my information was good enough to put in their article.
He was candidate for most improved.
Yeah, third in their voting.
Yeah. Third, but I would have thought he'd get second.
I can't remember who finished second. But obviously...
No one's beaten Dips.
No one's going to beat Dips. But... I think that Dragic is the best fit for them in terms of the Terry Rozier, Spencer Dinwiddie, and we spoke about Spencer Dinwiddie on the Brooklyn Buzz podcast, which I hosted on the weekend. So if you want to check that one out, as well, check it out on YouTube and iTunes.
You need some vet presence with all the youth that they have there.
I think so. Like, I think you need just a placeholder. Because they've got De'Anthony Melton, they've got Elia Kobo, they've got all these sort of guys that can sort of eventually become those style of players and will fit nicely next to Devin Booker, but they're not NBA ready yet. Like, whether it's a Patrick Beverley, whether it's a Terry Rozier, Spencer Dinwiddie, Goran Dragic, they're said to want to go all in and get a Lillard or a Kemba, but I don't know what the assets they could offer for that. But for me, I like the Dragic fit, and I think this is a fact.
I don't think you go for someone high profile. So that's why I think a Dragic is perfect. A little bit of vet presence there as well. Because you want to show Booker your complete,
you're trust. All in. Yeah,
yeah, like, yeah. You want him to be the centerpiece. You start bringing in big names, big personalities, and then it suddenly becomes not the Devin Booker show.
Yeah.
And I think he is an absolute superstar.
That's fair. That's fair.
You go all in on him. Who would be... him with... like Ayton.
Yeah, who would be your second pick outside of that? Like, we talked about Spencer Dinwiddie, Terry Rozier, Patrick Beverley, these sort of guys. Obviously, you could basically roll the dice and all of them would fit nicely. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie proved that he's a starting caliber point guard. Mm-hmm. Terry Rozier did in the playoffs as well. And Patrick Beverley has been that with Houston and with the Clippers.
Is Scary Terry not a fad? That's a question
I think needs to
be answered.
I did an article for Nets Republic.
Is he just benefiting from an amazing system and an amazing culture in...
So you're saying Isaiah Thomas, like, it could happen?
Yep.
Possibly.
What's his name? Jay Crowder as well.
Yeah, they're benefiting from the system.
Benefiting from a system and a culture. Like any other... they might find a Suns culture to be a little bit toxic, little bit like... Not to the extent of the Cavs, because I think that was a long time coming.
Yeah,
that sort of Cavs brewing culture. But yeah, it's so hard to see. You need to have like a.
But we saw him with
a stalwart point guard. Like, that's why I think Dragic would be perfect. And I've got no reason to think that other than what I see on the court, his demeanor.
He was an all-star last year as well.
I mean, exactly. I mean, it could
be. It should have been, but yeah.
That's for another day.
But I'll put in, I think, Spencer Dinwiddie. Now, I put an article out on Nets Republic that I think he's a sixth man of the year contender. But in terms of his fit alongside Devin Booker, past first point guard was top 10 in assists, top 10th in assist percentage, and number 1 in assist to turnover ratio. That is perfect alongside Devin Booker. Decent enough defender, can make the 3-point shot. His percentages weren't great last year. Check that article out.
And I think Beverley, like...
Beverley as well.
Number 1.
In terms of defense, I think he fits that defense-offense sort of mold. But we'll have to wait and see. But another story from early in the week. Manu Ginobili retired early in the week, and we're going to do a little bit of an honor to him. But before that, we will say what our topic is going to be about. Now, Manu Ginobili retired early in the week, and with that, a debate sparked on Twitter. Manu will go down as a better player than Dirk Nowitzki. Now, I know one person who definitely thinks this, Nicholas. And we'll let you guys interpret...
Is he in an asylum?
we'll play the video, and we can let you think who we... Yeah, just play the thing, mate.
Manu! Ginobili!
He's moving up my list, and that's AK-47, that's Kirilenko, because we just saw...
Ginobili!
On Ginobili!
I'm going to tell you, he's number 7 right now.
Oh my God! Ginobili! Ginobili!
So Charles Barkley certainly did not start this debate, funnily enough. Yeah. One of the best videos I've ever seen, mind you. I continue to laugh. It's like watching an In-Betweeners or IT Crowd episode. I still laugh at it, despite seeing it a million times. But now this is obviously very hyperbolic, to say the least. So it's a clear alternative fact. But we made another argument about the fact that is Manu a Hall of Famer?
Exactly.
And lots of people have been talking about this. I think he's an absolute lock. And many people
first
do.
First ballot?
I believe. It depends on, like, you know, obviously, if he comes in the next, like, 4 years later. Obviously, the other retirements affect that, so to speak. But I think that he has to be in it. Like, he is probably... He revolutionized the game from a perspective, like, yes, the Eurostep was in before him, but he made it his own. Like, he basically patented it.
There is no doubt in my mind that he is, like, a cultural icon.
Yeah.
Like, he is basketball famous because of the Spurs.
Yeah. Lionel Messi came out and said if he were to be referred to as the Manu Ginobili of soccer, he would be more than happy. Now, that's saying something.
That's an insult for Lionel Messi being the best player or what... Second best player, I think.
Or were you Ronaldo?
I'm a Ronaldo guy.
Oh, come on.
I'm a Ronaldo guy.
This guy. Don't listen to this, Alan.
Hey, the longevity of Ronaldo is amazing.
Right.
Again, the same argument with LeBron. His longevity is
fair enough.
But if you take the Manu Ginobili
resume.
Brand.
Right.
The brand of Manu Ginobili. So the name, the look... The hair,
the
then
nose.
The no hair.
The nose.
The nose.
We love the large noses here at JBT.
You get rid of all of that, and you look at raw stats. Is someone...
Statsman is
who
back.
Comes
this
off
Statsman,
the bench,
come on.
Comes off the bench, scores 13 points a game with great efficiencies. No, don't... Like, these efficiencies cannot be knocked. 13 points a game was still an important player in playoff wins, playoff championships.
Yep.
But played... I don't think... Is there a career average for minutes played?
If you click on all of them, it comes up with it.
He's playing 25 minutes a game, just respectable.
Yeah.
It's not starter level, but it is more than bench level. It's
yeah.
like this weird purgatory in between. 13 points a game. Does someone like that make the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. That's what I'm going off. You add the Manu Ginobili brand, the clutch plays, the block on James Harden 2 years ago as old man Ginobili, you know? The sheer respect and leadership that he has across the whole league. And then those numbers get skewed to favor him. Because people remember what he did on the court and be like, yeah, Hall of Famer. But stats are the only objective thing that we have.
Yeah, and obviously we have the accolades in his resume.
Is he a Hall of Famer? I think it's a tougher question than people are leading on for.
Well, I think he is. Two-time All-Star. I think he's a twice third All-NBA team. And obviously, I said this to you, and I think most people know, but if they don't, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. And what he did internationally could almost get him in alone.
Yeah, that Argentina win was
insane.
Yeah, tremendous.
And like, he is one of the best, probably the best international in terms of European player. Now, obviously, Dirk is probably the best, and he is an absolute lock. There's no discussion about Dirk. I understand the arguments about his stats and stuff, but... You used to be the stats man, and then you got beyond the stats, mate. You retired
now back to the stats man.
You retired the image, and now it's back for some reason. Look beyond. Like, basketball is bigger than numbers. If we're going by that, then we can go by the rings debate. And MJ's better than LeBron.
Kobe's
better than LeBron.
Is David West a Hall of Famer?
No, but he's the David West is by no means a comparison at all to Manu Ginobili.
Statistically, he is.
But statistically doesn't mean shit. Like, basketball is a subjective sport. This isn't baseball.
But that's what I mean. You all of this stuff is getting skewed by the Manu persona that he has
but it's
cultivated
impact.
For himself.
It's impact, Nick. Impact is bigger than numbers. I understand what you're saying in terms of the comparison of numbers, but I think it's insulting to have Manu in the same conversation. Like, Manu was basically the Spurs guy when it came to getting them a shot. The Manu Juneau block over James Harden alone.
And the shooting stars
move. Yes, sir. That deserves to be in the Hall of Fame alone. Just put that GIF in the Hall of Fame. Right? Is that good enough for you? But yeah, I think it's a subjective thing, basketball and the sport in general. I think that's what makes it great. That's what creates the debate. If this is like a basketball baseball conversation, he's not in because he doesn't have the PER, all this bullshit. But he is in the Hall of Fame. We might chuck it out there for you guys. If you agree with me or Nick, let us know on, you know, email jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter because Nick's not on anymore, really. He does check the emails, though. He's big on that.
Yeah, I do check the emails.
At the JManJBT. But let us know what you think about that. It's certainly an issue for debate, and we could go on longer, but we do need to get to some other things, including Harry Potter-related NBA topics. This is one of the best things I've ever seen on Reddit and NBA Reddit. And it's a wonderful place. This is via NBA Reddit. Kevin Durant is actually Voldemort. I think it's a fact, Nicholas. If we're taken into the issues,
and I mean, he is a snake. I mean, there is. I hate that snake thing. I hate myself for saying that.
4 dot points. He's associated with snakes. He was a prodigy when he was younger, and now he's just hated. Is way stronger than his main rival, obviously, and he has beef with random teenagers. That's the best one because obviously Voldemort and Harry have their history, and he's an older man.
So is way stronger than his main rival. Who is his main rival? LeBron.
I don't know.
Like way stronger, is he?
I don't know. I think that's a bit of a stupid one, but I don't know.
I mean, maybe Westbrook, main rival.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. He is much better than Westbrook.
Actually, that's a good point.
So but, that makes sense.
But Nick, this is a fact, and we can move on, right? Like he's Voldemort. That'd be it. Like we've never got
off his nose, and the resemblance is uncanny.
absolutely uncanny. But my best one is has beef with random teenagers. Like that's just too good. And the top one of the top rated comments. I'm weak.
That is so true.
That's me. Like but KD at beef with random KD, if you're listening, you know this wasn't me that came up with it. Actually,
I don't
it was.
Know why a professional sports star like in a, it just reacts. Why react?
He's
what?
They're human. They're human beings. He's insecure. Don't know what. I feel like he needs to listen to the opening.
The insecurity is.
He needs to listen to One Direction's "What Makes You Beautiful." Yeah. Like a lot of times, he's insecure. Don't know what for. He's turning eyes when he walks through the door. Speaking of KD, Nicholas, this per Knicks legend and Hall of Famer Walt Frazier. There's an asterisk next to Durant's name upon his move to Golden State a few years ago. Before we get to that and before we give our takes, Steven Jackson had a hot-ish take, a hot-ish response that had us in fits as well. We'll let you guys have a listen.
Man, I can't believe Walt Frazier out there talking about it's going to be an asterisk on the side of the KD name. Come on, Walt, man. Come on, Walt. You probably got... You got 1,500, 1,600 more points than me in your career, okay? I got about 13. You got 14-6, okay? You talking about KD. You ain't nowhere close to KD. Walt, you was good, nice point guard. You got an assist record. I dig all that. But if you don't sit your bird in the Midnight Falcons looking ass down, Walt, with them bullshit-ass suits, come on, man. That shit ain't live no more. Just in case. He's not looking ass. Come on, man. Nobody want to hear that shit, Walt. KD is a champion. Ain't no asterisk by his name. He going down as one of the best ever when he finished the game. Let that man live because he didn't make a decision that you want him to make. Come on, Walt. Sit your dusty suit wearing ass down, man. Looking like you got one of them suits off Beetlejuice. I can't let you ride on the younger generation.
Off Beetlejuice. That's a great line. And the fact, because he's doing it, he's just doing like a selfie sort of video and he posts it. The fact that like that came into his head, that's a great insight.
All ad-libbed. Like that is fantastic.
It's wonderful. We couldn't come up with much better. But we've given plenty of hate to KD, but I do agree with Steven Jackson. We might discuss in terms of next week's episode when we have a little less content about where Kevin Durant does rank all time. I think it's an alternative fact.
I mean, people were so against the move. I'm like, I don't care.
Anymore, I don't, but at the time I did. Like, if we're comparing that to Boogie, then it obviously makes more sense, and I've given my takes on that.
I didn't care then, I don't care now. He's doing what's best for his career. It wasn't getting shit done at OKC.
Yeah.
Kids, loyalty means nothing.
Yeah.
the world sucks.
Jesus.
Pessimistic nihilism.
All right.
Love it.
All right, calm down, mate.
But yeah, let him do what he wants. What he shouldn't be doing is giving credence to the haters. Like, he shouldn't be engaging them. He should just show it on the court, man. Show it on the court.
Yeah. But it's just, it's how he is, and I think that's part of the reason, like, why some people like him. Like, this is sort of his persona, and, you know, I'm...
To the same extent, it's why a lot of people hate him. It's like, why do you... You're such a... pardon my French, but you're such a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
Like, he is.
He is a little bit. He is a little bit. But we will move on to Kobe Bryant.
Mm.
Now, there's the whole, obviously, since LeBron going to LA, it's all the Kobe stands... are very much against it for some stupid and idiotic reason. One of the best players,
Jeudy Buss, came out and said, "If you're against LeBron coming to the Lakers, you're not a Lakers fan."
There we go,
straight from the owner.
Now, from the Black Mamba's mouth himself, he said he wants fans to fall in line, but Kobe doesn't really want his fans to fall in line in relation to LeBron's arrival, as he said to Rich Eisen. He's like, oh, they'll fall in line. He's just basically saying, like, he's this cult leader. It's like, yeah, my people
will respect.
Yes. But, like, I think he didn't say LeBron's name. He didn't, like, say, look, if they... I think he said something like, if they love winning, then they'll love LeBron. Like, he worded it in a way where he still kept, like, you know... He covered his own ass in a way where it's just like, nah, like, you can still hate, like, because I love you, you are my people. Like, the Kobe stands are what continue to bring him up in the GOAT conversation, even though he's barely even in the top 10. Come at me, at the JMJBT. But I'm going to go with Twitter fact for this. We've done a lot of alternative and facts for this one. But because I think in Kobe's mind, he still thinks he's there. And he thinks that LeBron could possibly take that, I mean, which is why he's not...
Why would he not want to hold on to the...
I mean, for an ego standpoint, he's probably one of the most egotistical players, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's what's made him great. But for me, and man, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, he is a glorified Michael Jordan.
Many people have said that. And, like, and it's true.
And it is true. I mean, at J-Man JBT, once again, slide them DMs, ladies and gentlemen. But MJ did it first, and he did it better. And Kobe came along and basically was a worse version of that. But in terms of this, yeah, that's why I'm giving it Twitter, because of that mentality that he has, the Mamba mentality. He's like, everything about me. He's very selfish. And I think... people forget about a lot of the off-court things with Kobe Bryant. And for me, that slips under the cracks and I hate it.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, it's just like, oh, well, now he's doing all this awesome stuff with kids and stuff. It's like, dude, you raped a chick. Like, let's... I'm putting it out there on the pod.
Yep.
I'm bringing it back from Colorado and just, like, he's got an Oscar. And, like, the whole Me Too movement, like, Harvey Weinstein's been trashed and deservedly so, Louis C.K.
Yep.
And the rest... Kobe Bryant paid off a woman, and I put this out on Twitter, I got a lot of hate as well, ages ago. He paid off a woman, basically, to say, let's settle this thing. And I still think that he did it to save his brand and his image. And obviously, all the best to him and Lakers fans, but LeBron is going to give the Lakers a new allure, and I'm already, like, all in on the LeBron Lakers for some reason.
I wonder why.
I'm obsessed with LeBron. But yeah, Nick, got any thoughts before we move on to our next one?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to do everything he can to stop the LeBron wave from destroying his legacy.
Yeah.
Because I think it will.
Wow.
I think people... like you'll get your few diehards.
Yeah.
But LeBron will bring Lakers back from
mediocrity.
Exactly. They've been mediocre to worse than mediocre for quite a long time now.
About 3 years.
He hindered... Bryant hindered the growth of D'Angelo Russell, who's doing amazing things in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, did he affect Brandon Ingram?
Jordan Clarkson?
You know, maybe not
Jordan Clarkson, but...
Yeah, I mean...
It was the Kobe show in that last exactly. year. Exactly. It was the farewell tour.
That sort of selfish nature, and, you know, no one will forget Kobe for what he did to the for the franchise, but the selflessness and the... inevitable success that LeBron will bring.
Yeah.
Will, I mean, there's already been debates. Will he be the greatest Laker ever?
Yeah, I know.
Like, is Kobe the greatest Laker ever?
Kobe's...
No,
Kobe's,
I don't think
Kobe's
so.
Kobe's third. Now, it goes Magic, Kareem. I'd possibly... You could put in Shaq, maybe.
Shaq wasn't there for long enough.
I know.
But, I get you.
And you can even chuck in Elgin Baylor, who brought them back.
Elgin Baylor, yeah. He's an unsung hero,
absolutely.
Elgin Baylor.
I think I would have those two, at least, in Magic, Elgin Baylor... Maybe Kareem. He's probably on level with Kareem because obviously Kareem did such awesome things with Milwaukee. And if you're talking about like loyalty, blah, blah, blah. But we'll keep on LeBron with Nick's best friend, Stephen A. Smith. He has a little bit of a take, Nicholas.
Don't put that on me, mate. Don't put that.
He has
Don't
a take. Should we hear what he said on his show, First Take, with Max Kellerman and I think Molly was on it as well. Molly Karam. So let's have a listen to the man himself.
I got the Lakers going to the Western Conference Finals.
What?
That's how I feel about it. I mean, I'm listening to
he is on crack.
Folks talk about how the Lakers ain't going to be but so much. They might make
Western
the playoffs or whatever. I got the Lakers going to the Western Conference Finals.
You don't think it's a little aggressive?
I think that they're going to meet the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. That's what I believe.
Well, as you would say, flaming hypocrite. You flaming hypocrite.
I really believe
here it is. You tell me.
Finals. Everybody remember this.
You tell me, LeBron. I'm the one
First
over
all,
here saying.
Everyone remembers what I say.
Oh,
I ain't worried about
could
that.
You stop having
I ain't worried about that.
Every time you say something.
You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
I'm the one definitely saying LeBron's on his
and he said he sips
planet.
Water for those that haven't seen the video. He sips his cup of water after doing the tape.
If KD joins the Lakers instead of LeBron, you picking him to go to the Western Conference Finals?
Yep.
Oh, stop. You're picking... You'd say the addition of KD on these Lakers would bring them to the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
All right, I don't know. I thought I had him, but apparently...
You
know
what? Because not
totally
only are they in the playoffs, they're going to be in the Western
you're going to catch
finals.
Up instead of being so slow on the uptake.
Now, firstly, our condolences to Stephen A. Smith and his family. I think his father and his mother have passed. And we love Stephen A. Smith for what he brings to the game and to the debate. But this is ludicrous.
He can say some outlandish crap.
I mean, to say the least. You're almost with him a little bit with the LeBron take, but then when Max tries to get him with the KD, he's softly spoken. Yeah. Just like,
stick to your guns. Like, the stubbornness is tremendous.
It really is.
I mean, there are people out there who legitimately believe that Kevin Durant is a better player than LeBron James. In some aspects, yes. I mean, it's crazy to think, like, he's a better scorer.
Yeah.
And he might be a better defender. And so, like...
Now he
what,
is.
Exactly.
Better but, shooter, I think,
like,
as well.
What does LeBron bring? And, like, if you look at it from that, it's like, yeah, okay, I understand.
Yeah, holistically as a basketballer, I guess.
But, like, LeBron is... It's the same sort of thing. LeBron's got this LeBron brand.
Yeah.
That is tremendous. Anyway.
And for those that haven't, like, there was a really awesome show via HBO that I downloaded, and you need to watch it as well. The Shop. I'm sure everyone's heard of it.
Oh, yeah. I saw a snippet of it. With him
I've
and
got
Donald,
it.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
His comments on Donald Trump.
Yeah, and there was also Draymond saying how he's basically the best ever, and he came out and said that. Definitely check that out. But we'll move on to a friend.
Well, Draymond said that Draymond is the best ever?
No, he said that LeBron's the
best that
ever.
Because that is very much what Draymond would say. I am the best player of
he
all.
He had a giant cup of wine with him, and he was definitely on his bad and bougie. And it looked like nice wine, to be honest. But to a friend of LeBron's, and I think Carmelo's right. Before we get to this take, Clay and Melo are in Doha, Qatar, right now, and they're putting out some awesome Instagram posts, and I think Tracy McGrady was there as well. And Klay Thompson commented on one of Carmelo's Instagram posts saying, "There's the big three championship right there, baby." And I was just like, "Klay is fire, man. He is so fire. I love him so much. I want him to come to the like. He's a free agent next season. I would give him the max to get to the Nets. We've got that space for you, Klay. Come to the Brooklyn,
baby. He'd
be
a good pickup." No doubt.
But obviously, we shall talk about Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony can help the Rockets achieve their ultimate glory of winning a championship. Chris Paul's comments, what brought this up for me. He said, per Amico Hoops, "I'm excited about it. That's my brother. I'm not only happy for our team, but I'm happy for him. When you know a guy that well, you're able to push each other and motivate each other. We both have a common goal, wanting to win a championship." You like that pause? That was a nice pause.
Talk yourself up. The only positive that I can really take away from this, and what might make it work, is that he's playing with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
The Banana Boat clan. He was part of that Banana Boat clan, wasn't
he? I think Melo... I can't remember who wasn't on it, but it was definitely D. Wade. It was definitely LeBron. Melo and or...
No. But they're mates. So like they're mates. Anyway, I don't think he had a single friend in OKC.
No.
Not even the fans liked him. I think maybe Houston will embrace him a little bit more because of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So maybe that positive mentality, positive offensive...
he's just got to focus on a role a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Like he needs to... I'm sure he'll find his niche. And I am sure that his season, I guess, or however long it is with Houston, his tenure will be a lot more successful than it was at OKC.
Are you worried at all? And a lot, some people are. I'm not one of them. Are you worried at all about the D'Antoni Melo relationship? Obviously, it basically is what got D'Antoni fired in New York 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Or is it water under the bridge?
Not necessarily water under the bridge, but Melo's role in the team is hardly one of influence at the moment. So, like it was.
What is his role in the team now? What is he in this Houston Rockets outfit? What does D'Antoni want of him?
Needs to be off the bench knockdown scorer.
I think he starts. I think he's a token starter. But I think he's not a finisher.
I think he needs to play with Chris Paul, to be honest, actually.
Yeah. I wouldn't argue that.
I'd love to see I'd love to see stats from next year of his minutes and shooting percentages without Paul on the court.
Yeah, those lineups would be interesting.
Just because he's such a mental, he plays in here, he plays in his head.
Yeah,
and if he's playing alongside Chris Paul, I think he's a lot better off mentally.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to knock down shots. We might even see flashes of old Melo.
Yeah, we could, and we were dying when Nick and I and Chaz and Kim, when we went to the when he was still in the Knicks, and funny enough, they were versing Houston that night. We were salivating at the prospect of seeing Melo, and then we get the Bleacher Report notification sitting literally as we sit down to our seats. And Kieran at that stage was like a Melo stan.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them. And he's just like, nah, I'm leaving. And he starts walking down the stairs.
Melo was
a late scratch.
Yeah, that's right.
We did see an awesome night from James Harden that night and probably one of the best dunks.
Dwight Howard?
Oh my God, I will remember for the rest of my life. And the usher behind us as well.
Oh man, yeah.
That was a fun night.
That Knicks fan just like a couple
of rows down. Let's go, James!
Let's go, Knicks!
Let's go, Knicks! What you got, Harden? What you got, bro? Let's go, bro!
It was so loud. It was classic New Yorker. It was so great.
It was the perfect New York experience. And I was glad that you were there.
We got a bagel and a slice afterwards.
Chaz get a pretzel before as well?
Oh, probably.
They're so salty.
So salty. You can't finish one on your own.
No,
they're way too big and just...
You need about 4 Gatorades to like stay hydrated throughout them.
It's an effort.
It really is. But Nick, we've still got a bit of time. So let's touch on Isaiah Thomas's comments. And I'm not sure how long ago these were, but I think that they're still relevant. Isaiah Thomas said this. It's a long 82 games plus the playoff, which we will be making this year. And now he's on the Denver Nuggets, so we're talking about Denver. They make the playoffs this year. Is this a fact?
I mean, I can't keep saying yes to people making the playoffs in the West because there are a finite amount of spots.
We've spoken about three or four teams.
Dallas, that could potentially make a playoff spot.
Memphis. You said the Suns were
exactly
smoky.
The Suns. Lakers, that's already 4 teams. You add Denver in there as well.
And
5 teams.
And then the locks are Houston, OKC, to a lesser extent.
Golden State.
And maybe even Utah.
Spurs.
So that's 10 teams.
That's exactly,
are you changing
exactly
the playoff format, Nicholas?
About.
What's going on here, mate? Are you in Adam Silver's pocket?
I mean, could the Spurs... The Spurs made the playoffs last year, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Are they getting knocked out of the
playoffs?
They're
not a lock.
They're still not playing with Kawhi. And now they're playing with DeMar DeRozan. Like, they've strengthened.
But they did also lose Kyle Anderson and Danny Green.
And so. Manu Ginobili.
Manu Ginobili! yes, Manu Ginobili, obviously. And he definitely played a role last season as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how Pop...
There are just so many teams that are on the up.
It's going to be fascinating.
And, like, Denver have been there for the past 2 seasons.
They're ninth. They lost basically an OT to Minnesota to get that spot. That was an insane game.
You know... Logic dictates that they'll make the playoffs another year.
Stop beating around the bush, Nicholas. Are they making the playoffs? Give me something. Let's write it home. Let's Stephen A. Smith this shit.
I'm going to say no.
Wow.
I'm going to say no.
You got a wow for me? I'm Owen Wilson about this because I think that they're in.
Wait. Yeah, there it is. Wow.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted.
I'm bad on this.
You had the doc open, mate. I appreciate it, but I think that they're in terms of that list. That
Who's leaving the play? Who's leaving the playoff picture?
I think
picture?
Portland. Spurs?
You think Portland are leaving the playoff picture?
I think that
finishing third.
But they finished fourth. Third by like a third. They finished third. They finished third by a game, Nick. Like from third from third to ninth, the difference was 3 games. Like it was 49 wins to 46. That's not like a huge difference compared to like 50 wins in where I think Cleveland or Philly finished and eighth, which was like 38 wins last season.
Your top three is Golden State.
Yep.
Rockets.
Yep.
OKC.
Maybe Utah.
Your locks. All right. What are your locks?
Those are my four locks.
Golden State,
Houston, OKC, Utah are my four locks.
Utah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you've only got four spots.
Yeah.
For the Lakers. Yep. For the Suns, which you don't think. I think you're not having the Suns.
Dallas.
For Dallas.
Memphis.
For Memphis. For Denver.
Portland.
You've got for Pelicans.
Did you say Minnesota?
Minnesota. You've got eight teams there, Jack, for four spots.
Basically, everyone can make the playoffs in the West except for like the Kings. I think Denver makes it. I think, and we'll be doing a massive season preview for you guys in the coming weeks.
You'd think Minnesota's a lock.
But the thing
is, they were third for such a long time.
But their chemistry is what really worries
me. Yeah, but another season, you think their chemistry is going to be better.
But what Jimmy Butler's saying in the offseason about Cat like meshing with, and we know Jimmy Butler doesn't get along with guys very well unless they do. It's like his way or the highway. So I think that they're teetering. Portland for me are more likely to get out of the playoffs than Minnesota because I think that their young talent in terms of Wiggins and Towns haven't reached their ceiling yet. Mm-hmm. So they're only going to get better. You should think so.
Yeah, I mean,
but Portland have sort of plateaued and losing Ed Davis to the Nets, true. Shabazz Napier to the Nets.
They lost Nurkic as well, did they not?
Or no, they re-signed him to a four-year, $48 million, which is a nice deal. But I think that those two guys are significant downgrades. And
who knows if Lillard can pump out the production that he can every year. I mean, he's still young, don't get me wrong. There's no reason why he shouldn't. But you go season after season and you get swept in the playoffs. That can be crushing.
Yeah, and like there's people thinking that like they could finish third. Like that, the teams that Nick rattled off, it's a roll of the dice. I think the top four should be barring injury, obviously.
Which is
always
why, like people who are on the LeBron bandwagon, all of those teams are quality teams.
Yeah,
eight teams for four spots.
Yep.
If you're taking your four locks.
Yep.
Which I'm not 100% sure that Utah is a lock.
Yeah, I mean,
I would put those three as a lock,
but their last,
and then the rest.
But with Rudy Gobert in the latter half of the season, their defense was astronomical. And generally, when you are a top five defensive or offensive team, you're generally a lock for the playoffs. And I think that Utah is a top three, if not top one, defensive team.
Is it bad for me to say I want Donovan Mitchell to go to water? What? I just want him to have a bad season.
Because of Ben Simmons. You're a Ben Simmons stan. Because
I want all the haters for Ben Simmons to be like, all right, maybe he did deserve Rookie of the Year. But I want Donovan Mitchell to have a great career, don't get me wrong. But I just want him to have a bad season.
The sophomore slump is real, and it could occur. Speaking of a guy who is technically a sophomore, even though he only played a couple of games, Markelle Fultz. Markelle's trainer and famed NBA trainer, Drew Hanlon, also works at Tatum, Joel Embiid, and a plethora of others, outlined that if Fultz is back to 100% health, quote, he's immediately an all-star. Bang. That is a hot take, Nick. That is a hot take, and if I've ever heard it. Do you think he's right, or do you think that he's been sipping the Kool-Aid?
A smack bang, like straight away all-star.
That's what he said, if he's 100% healthy.
There's no way.
Like,
there's just no way.
Because he's
showed us nothing that he will be a all-star.
Youngest player to ever get a triple-double last year.
Straight away. Like, we're talking straight away. If he plays this season.
For the 3-4 months till all-star break. Ben Simmons.
It is in the East though, so like, there's a possibility.
Like, yeah, that's
LeBron's gone.
That's
DeMar's gone.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, because I talked about I've done articles about D'Lo possibly making the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it helps when your team is successful. That's why D'Lo generally struggles.
I mean,
and
there are three All-Stars on that team ahead of him.
Two.
Sorry, he's the third. Yeah.
Robert Covington's pretty good, though.
I mean, yeah, he is.
JJ Redick's lights out.
But there's two people ahead of him in that team.
I think it's alternative fact.
It is an alternative fact. Because give him a couple. If the kid a couple of years, if he
didn't say 100%, I'd change it to Twitter because I don't think he's a lock. Because Ben Simmons didn't make it last season, and it was a travesty that he didn't make it above Goran Dragic.
Considering all of the injuries that happened.
Yeah, and Goran Dragic posted like 17-6-6. And, like, basically Ben Simmons did those numbers in his sleep. Mm. Like, he was posting triple-doubles left, right, and center. Mm. So, but he is one of the storylines to watch next season, Markelle Fultz. Like, does he get back to that number one prospect rank where he was, if he's back at 100% health, like, discounting the All-Star conversation, he fits so perfectly next to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the perfect complementary third piece. And, like, you add in Robert Covington, Dario Saric. Man, they could be a dynasty if, like, they keep Markelle Fultz. And they've still got cap space as
this
well.
This Philly team is exciting. Yeah. So, like, no doubt. This Philly team was exciting last year.
I want him to get back to his health. Like, yeah. 100%. Like, we've said that ad nauseum on our podcast, that we want the best players out there 100% of the time at full health so they can reach their fullest potential, because Markelle Fultz is a stud. Was a stud. Is he a stud going into next season? We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, we've seen glimpses, like the minorest of glimpses of, like, that shot in Twitter videos and YouTube videos. He looks good.
I seem to have seen a lot more workout videos this offseason than I have in any other offseason.
I know,
because I've seen Ben Simmons improving his shot. Yeah. I've seen Lonzo Ball improving
his
shot.
Yeah, that looked nice.
Markelle Fultz, like you said, Dwight Howard doing crazy things.
He's Anthony Davis.
Like, who else was it? Melo shooting lights out in bloody Aaron Gordon against KD.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. Get around him. Get around AG.
I can't decide who's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Because of all of these amazing workout videos that I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's very hard to pinpoint it, but, you know, the early part of the season, the first couple of months, are going to be absolutely fascinating. We'll keep right on top of that at JBT. Don't you worry about that.
Amen.
But we will finish with a fellow Sixers teammate, our boy, the man that we follow like no other, the GOAT himself.
Simbo,
I like that.
Simbo.
I like that.
Sinbad.
Well, you need to put Simbo on. Can you edit, like, basketball reference pages like you can with Wikipedia? add in Simbo as
a
nickname.
I'm gonna find out what his
nickname is. What is his nickname? While you're doing that,
it'll
friend.
It'll probably be like the Australian Dynamite. Like that, yeah. Something stupid.
I'm going to put out, while you're looking that up, the ending of Ben Simmons' relationship with Kendall Jenner is a blessing in disguise. Now, it's not even a blessing in disguise. It's just
a blessing.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag
it is
blessed.
Very evident blessing.
He is Drake. He is YAA up. He's blessed. Now, obviously, Kendall, I don't know what's going on in her life, but cheating on Ben Simmons, yeah, Nick.
What are you
what's
doing,
going on with the KKKKK, however many Ks there are in their freaking clan? But it is disgusting that she would diss our boy like that. And
are you linking the Kardashians to white supremacy?
I mean, I did see the Black Klansman the other night.
Oh, is it good?
Very good, mate.
Oh,
go and check it out. I'll see it again with you. Maybe we can see it Friday. I'm still here for another week.
As soon as I can walk on this tendony foot.
Yes, sir.
Lack thereof.
This is an absolute fact. But Nick, what's the nickname?
We got Fresh Prince, because he does look. He does look a little bit like.
I remember
like,
that. Yep. I remember that.
Benny. It's mundane.
That's very Aussie. Yeah, Benny.
The Yank. Don't know why he's called the Yank, because he's Australian.
Maybe they got that within
it's ironic, maybe.
The Boomer system. They probably gave it to him. Like, maybe Dante's like, hey, Yank. Or maybe Bogan or something.
Maybe. Big Ben.
But yeah, Big Ben.
Don't mind Big Ben.
London lover. So
and the Wizard of Oz.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
But who is going to go out of their way to call Ben Simmons? Hey, Wizard of Oz.
Hey, Wizzy.
Wiz Nation.
Rank those nicknames. Simba at the top. Simbo.
Simbo's not there, but Simbo's at the top.
Simba. You could have Simba as well, because he's the king. He's the prince of the jungle. Yeah. Ooh, taking over Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Yeah, we need to add Simba to that.
Yeah, okay.
Simba. If anyone at Basketball Reference is listening, please add this and credit Nicholas.
All right, Simba.
Fresh Prince is pretty good.
I like Fresh Prince.
I like Wizard of Oz, but it's not.
It's not nicknamey.
You can't say it.
If you're
writing an article, like if I'm writing an article about Ben Simmons and I run out of pronouns, The Wizard of Oz is a good one.
Mm.
Like I'll chuck that in, add in the apostrophes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, if you as a saying nickname, like
I
it's
mean,
not
the Yank
good.
Is definitely last.
Yes, because it's.
It's just I don't get.
He's Australian.
I think that's the irony.
Is the Yank worse than Benny? I think the Yank's better than Benny.
Oh yeah, okay, good point.
Yeah,
Benny is shit.
Benny is
terrible.
It's like calling.
But
you...
it's the one that you're most likely going to call.
Yeah, I mean, I'd
call him Simbo.
I'd call him BS.
Hey, Simbo.
I'd call him BS as well. I like BS.
Bullshit.
Yeah, no, just BS. I like we love our nicknames at JBT as
and
well.
Australians in general.
And too. Australians in general, we generally extend names as well.
Simba.
Like my name is Jack. I get called Jacka and Jacko.
Jackie.
Like my name is Jack. I have JAC in my name.
I call you Jackima.
Yeah, you're like that's my name. My nickname is supposed to be shorter.
Shorter. Yeah.
By virtue of why it's a nickname, but I love it, and it's a perfect part of it. If you have some nicknames for Ben Simmons. At the JM and JBT, slide in those DMs. JBTpodcast@gmail.com.
The thief.
But Nick,
because he stole Rookie of the Year.
Or the, yeah, everyone, don't give people ideas. But what do you think about the Kendall Jenner thing? Apparently she's now seeing Gigi Hadid's younger brother, Nicholas. I've been watching a bit of E! News.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, a model of sorts.
Okay. good for her.
But Ben Simmons is way more attractive and talented.
Of course.
Than any of those people.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
I mean, he's better than the Jenners.
The Kendall... What's that? The Kardashian Jenners.
KKJs. Yeah, no, he's much better. I mean, the Kardashian curse is a real thing, and I am not superstitious in the least, but it is a real thing. And
Tristan Thompson,
it does
Lamar
mean
Odom.
The downfall of any team.
James Harden, the year after he broke up with Khloe Kardashian, won the MVP.
There you go.
Ben Simmons MVP lock this season, ladies and gentlemen. It's
definitely. I mean, the year after the curse has been lifted,
yes, sir,
is a tremendous time.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's a.
He's been the rookie of the year all over again.
He's
baby.
Focused now. He's more focused.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he had a bit of fun in the summer. You know, spent a bit of time in LA. JJ on JJ Redick's podcast as well. Funnily enough, Ben Simmons was in Philly. Oh no, New York because. JJ lives in Brooklyn, and he went over to JJ's apartment building or whatever, and he didn't tell. He's like, "Do you mind?" Like, and he went into the house, and JJ Redick noticed some like girls hanging out with Ben Simmons and like his manager or whoever. And he's like, "Is that Kendall Jenner?" And like they came in and stuff, so he was like just surprised. So they were close. We mourn the loss of Miss Jenner. Well, not really. We just hope that our boy's in a good state.
That's it.
That's all that matters. And look, Benny, you're too good for this, mate. You deserve to be going out the Beyoncés of the world. Mm-hmm. The Rihannas of the world.
Amen.
Joel had a go at Rihanna, got rejected. But look what happened to him. He's an MVP candidate next season, which we might talk about in the next podcast. Mm. But outro time.
Huh?
Outro. Who's
do it?
Me?
You do it.
All right, thanks, mate. That just about does it.
I'm just lazy.
You're sitting in a very lax,
relaxed position,
lax
here.
State right now, which is fair enough. You've been working hard. You're doing your thing, mate. That just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to thank you all for tuning in to Just Ball Things. Catch us every Monday at 2 PM Eastern on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. Cheers to them for the GIF. That was kind of nice. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever you listen to your podcast. We're on YouTube now. Check out the Off the Glass. Subscribe to them. We're there. Do us a solid. Leave us a rating and review. It helps us out heaps. You can contact us, as we've said plenty of times on this pod, at the J-Man JBT. Nick might check out his Twitter notifications every now and then, at JBT Nick.
I definitely might.
He shook his head as I was saying it. You should also hit us up at OTG Basketball, where you can read some awesome NBA articles written by... moi, and also there's other places I do that. Just check out my Twitter page, and there's heaps of other awesome content there. We're doing some really fire stuff, and the podcast series, we're doing the previews. Nick and I are going to be jumping on the Wizards preview series next week, guys.
Yep.
So tune into that one. That'll be coming very soon. Nick's actually gonna have to do some research for a podcast.
That's crazy. It's not just a conversation, it's actually new stuff.
It actually is,
which is nuts.
I'm looking forward to actually hearing what he can bring to that. But we've got Facebook as well. Search Just Ball Things, you'll find us there. We're posting plenty of stuff, the email as well, where we'll read all of them on the show, every single one of them, every single word, whatever you want us to read. You type in something in that email, you send us a gift, whatever, we're reading it out. jbtpodcast@gmail.com. remember, it's you guys should make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
Meatballs.